big and very wet. Hurricane Florence strikes the East Coast. With Donald Trump considering Puerto Rico a measure of success, should Americans be worried? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER, and each week we talk about the latest news and politics from the land of the free and the home of the brave, the US of A. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Hurricane Florence thrashing North and South Carolina, drenching the US East Coast as we speak at the time of recording right now. Ed, people have been warned to get out of the area, but what do you make of the preparations for this one, given your experience?
Well, a couple of things here. One of them is there are a lot of climate change skeptics there, and they've been building too close to the ocean for a long time. The states have now taken some action, so I think the damage in terms of human life will be a lot less. The other thing, this went from a Category 4, maybe even a 5 now, down to a 2. The big problem now is it stalled over the Carolinas, and tremendous amount of rain is coming down. So there'll be major flooding, the usual things, power outages and the like, but probably fewer deaths. The preparation in this case, particularly along the East Coast, is pretty good. The schools have been built to shelter. There are a lot of shelters in the area. There are a lot of supplies of energy around using either gas or petrol that's been stored for this purpose. So I think there's good preparation, but that has very little to do with the White House.
You have said previously FEMA doesn't have a budget because disasters don't have a budget. FEMA is a creature of the presidency in some way, and when these big events come up, the White House just has to find the money somewhere. Where do you imagine that money is going to come from?
This is curious because they actually did have a budget this time, and that money was moved from the storm preparation into another appropriation that would be good for the president temporarily. And this is calling one big hullabaloo. It's only $10 million, but it's symptomatic of what's going on. What we have here is a situation where the states are very much left on their own. And in this case, the president may call a national emergency, and then he'll have to go to the Congress to get the necessary money. That will be easy to do because, remember, there's going to be an election coming up. So no congressman is going to vote against this appropriation. And furthermore, the money won't be delivered until next budget year. So no worries. The United States knows how to print money.
On the same topic, in the lead up to this storm, Donald Trump called his administration's Puerto Rico response an unsung success, leading some to worry if you think that's a success. Well, what's this one going to look like? And Trump this morning, it's being reported, saying that he thinks the 3,000 deaths in Puerto Rico is totally false, made up by Democrats to make him look bad. Hard to say what you even say about these ones any longer.
Well, furthermore, any reporting and things like this come from the state government, in this case, the provincial government. And this was backed up by an independent survey done by George Washington University. The Democrats, who are these Democrats? Are the Democrats walking around? Does a person who works for the bureaucracy, are they Democrat because they work for a bureaucracy? This is sounding like a person who's unhinged, to tell you the truth, who is so incapable of understanding where he is, what he's doing. He just grabs anything and puts it in his mouth and spits it out. He won't remember what he said 2 minutes from now.
Maybe it's the same angry Democrats that are working within the Mueller investigation.
It must be the same people, yes. And those people must be really pretty vicious and pretty awful because they've just indicted another Russian. And this is one, you may not remember, we talked about this almost a year ago. And I brought up the fact they caught this guy in Spain, a Russian who was known to be a universally despised hacker. And the Spaniards had caught him. Now the Spaniards have extradited this guy to the United States. he will spill the beans. And trailing on to that, we have the Manafort issue. Manafort knows something, and he's holding on to it because he thinks Trump will give him a pardon.
Speaking of law and order, Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings have been an ongoing story this week. Some are claiming he's lied to the Senate Judiciary Committee. What's the latest?
Yes, he did. But this was a lie to save his rear and to save his candidacy. It will come to haunt him in some ways. But if they can speed this thing along, he'll be confirmed. And furthermore, as I've said, I'd rather have this devil than the other devils waiting in the wings. If they can stall long enough, of course, maybe the Democrats get control of the Senate and they stall any candidate. And I think that's what the Democrats are trying to do, postpone these hearings until after the elections. That's going to be very hard to do when we're talking about a little over a month to go.
And one from last week, a New York Times opinion piece claiming to be someone who is part of a resistance in the Trump White House, saving him from his worst inclinations. This followed very similar stories in Bob Woodward's book about Trump, saying that Trump staff literally would sometimes steal items off the Oval Office desk that they didn't want Trump to know about or to sign. What do you make of this one, Ed?
Well, look, this is an interesting case. As you know, I worked in the White House, in and out of the White House. The White House itself is a very small building, but right next door to it is the Executive Office Building. And people in the Executive Office Building have access to the White House, particularly the Vice President's staff. And they can roam around there and pick up things. And let's just say two people, one on the president's staff and one on the vice president's staff, get their heads together, put together what they know is going on. We have known. There's nothing in this editorial we haven't known. We have known the president's worst inclinations have been thwarted by Mathis, have been thwarted by Kelly, have been thwarted, I'm forgetting the name of the previous Secretary of State, who openly defied him. And now the current Secretary of State, Pompeo, is doing the same thing. So the government is not being run by Donald Trump. That is all this is saying. Surprise, surprise. I think we know the government is not being run by Donald Trump because the Puerto Rico is a clear indication that the man is actually not capable of running anything, and other people, adults in the room, have taken over.
Well, as much of a big name as Woodward is, it seems like all the claims that are coming out of this book, sensational as they are, these stories, when taken in isolation, are absolutely incredible. But at the same time, this is nothing that Trump's public persona doesn't tell us every single day.
Well, moreover, remember, we had the first book, The Fury. Mm. Is there anything in this book that is not in The Fury? Is there anything in this book that's not in Omarosa's book? Is there anything in this book that's not in what Jim Acosta is reporting every week? He definitely has moles in the White House, and these people are talking. The White House, like any large bureaucracy, it is hard, unless the people will follow your orders, to keep them quiet. And the reporters are everywhere. You can't walk into a single restaurant without seeing some Washington Post reporter or some reporter from XYZ Stringer. You catch a cab and the cab driver starts talking to you. You don't know that he may not have a recorder on in the front of the cab. I was there, and this was in the Nixon administration, where the president was paranoid, and he could not keep control of it. And he tried to control everything, including writing me notes saying I'd misspelled people's names and stuff. This talk about a control freak. Here's a man who has no control. If Richard Nixon couldn't control the White House, what chance does Trump have? Zero.
Briefly in international news, Ed, some back and forth on North Korea. First, Mike Pompeo wouldn't be going back because of a nasty letter sent to the White House. James Mattis announced exercises with South Korea would likely be back on. This week, a very nice, positive, warm letter gets sent asking for a second sit-down and the Trump White House jumping on the chance.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. The Chinese are behind this in some way, and the South Koreans. But they don't really need Trump at this point. Trump's already the odd man out. He has no support in Europe or anywhere else. The South Koreans and the Chinese can do a deal and leave the United States out. If I were them, that's what I'd do. Maybe I'd call the Japanese in and make this a bigger partnership. But the United States really, other than having 50,000 troops there, has no cards to play. And those troops are at risk at this juncture because the United States has no friends.
Meanwhile, we can't even get a call back. Trump has cancelled his trip to Australia, and in the Asia region at large, some have said he seems to be checking out entirely, even while other US sources say China's military is gearing up for war.
Well, I don't know who they're going to go to war against. They don't need to go to war. They already control the territory. I was in Cambodia, 7 months ago, and you could see the Chinese had basically taken over Cambodia. It is very clear the Chinese have won this battle. The only thing that's left out of it right now is the Philippines. They own most of the South Pacific. And if they make a deal with the North Koreans, they'll own the North Pacific. And I think the next move will be the strategic retreat of American troops from Korea. And then the game is over. This was the worst possible time to have a person like Trump who doesn't have a global understanding of how every strategic move makes a big difference. And speaking of international issues, one you haven't brought up, and that is the International Court of Justice, where the United States said no American will ever be prosecuted by that court, and we're going to get this court shut down. Well, that court is tied to all international business. So when you do a deal between the United States and South Korea or whatever, and you go to court, final decision-making might be in the other division, that court, kind of the civil division. If you start unraveling international civil law, which Trump has no respect for, next will be unraveling the international trade agreement. Then there's going to be a tailspin, and God only knows where countries are going to end up. So this man is dangerous now to the world.
Just finally, Ed, looking ahead to midterms, bad news in the polls this week for Trump. All approval ratings taking a new plunge, even in the Midwest. What's happening?
Well, we know what's happening. As you know, I got sick last week from Trump news. People are getting sick of it. And then, you know, I'm just making a joke about myself, but people are getting sick of Donald Trump. Americans, and I hear from my relatives, don't want to hear any more of that nonsense. They're proud of their country. They want to be proud of their president and the presidency. They don't want to hear any more about Trump, and they're looking for ways to get rid of him. There's a really rising star in Texas, Beto O'Rourke. If he beats Ted Cruz, Beto looks a lot like Kennedy, doesn't he?
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. To help support the work we do, go to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.